Jackson stayed in the mudroom and closed and locked both cupboards. Reacher stepped back into the kitchen and sat down next to Taylor. Tell me about Gregory.
What about him?
Is he going to stand by Lane or you?
Lane, I think.
Even though you served together?
Lane bought him. When he was in uniform, Gregory always wanted an officer's commission, but he never got it. It burned him up. And then Lane made him a kind of unofficial lieutenant.
Status at last.
Meaningless bullshit, of course. But it's a thought that counts. So I think Gregory will stick with him. Plus, he'll be offended that I didn't share my secret. He seemed to think that two Brits abroad should share everything.
Does he know this area?
Taylor shook his head. He's a Londoner, like me.
What about the others? Will any of them turn?
Not Kowalski.
Not Perez.
Turning would require some brain activity, and those two are room temperature IQs at best. Probably not Addison either. But Groom and Burke aren't dumb. If they see the ship is sinking, they'll get off fast enough.
That's not the same thing as turning.
None of them is going to come over to our side. You can forget about that. The best we can hope for is neutrality from Groom and Burke, and I wouldn't bet the farm on that.
How good are they? All of them, as a whole.
They're about as good as me, which is to say, they're on a slippery slope. They used to be outstanding, but now they're well on the way to average. Plenty of experience and ability, but they don't train anymore. And training is important. Back in the day, training was 99% of what we did.
Why did you join them?
For money. That's why I joined them. And I stayed with them because of Kate. I loved her from the first moment I saw her.
Did she love you back?
Eventually. Not eventually, Kate said from her chair by the fire. Truth is, it was really pretty quick. One day, I asked him why he had never had his teeth fixed, and he told me that he had never even thought about it. I like that kind of self-respect and self-confidence in a man.
You see anything wrong with my teeth? Taylor asked. Plenty. I'm surprised you can eat. Maybe that's why you're so small.
I am what I am.
Exactly 1 hour after they came in and lit the fire, they drew lots for the first round of lookout duty. Jackson and Pauling pulled the short straws. Jackson sat in the Land Rover at the back of the house, and Pauling sat in the Mini at the front. That way, each of them could cover a little more than 180 degrees. Across the flat land, they could see a mile or more. 90 seconds warning if Lane came in by road, a little more if he came in across the fields, which would be a slower approach. Reasonable security, as long as the daylight lasted. Chapter 69. The daylight lasted until a little after 8 o'clock. By then, Reacher was in the Land Rover, and Kate Lane was in the Mini. The sky darkened in the east and reddened in the west. Twilight rolled in fast, and with it came an evening mist that looked picturesque but cut visibility to less than 100 yards. The bird scarer fell silent. All afternoon and into the evening, it had been firing at unpredictable, random intervals between a minimum of 15 and a maximum of 40 minutes. Now, its sudden silence was more noticeable than its noise. Taylor and Jackson were in one of the barns working on the backhoe. Pauling was in the kitchen, opening cans for dinner. Jade was still at the table, drawing. By 8:30, visibility was so marginal that Reacher slid out of the Land Rover and headed for the kitchen. He met Jackson on the way. Jackson was coming back from the barn. His hands were covered with grease and oil. Reacher asked, "How's it going?"
"It'll be ready."
Then Taylor appeared out of the gloom.
10 hours to go. We're safe until dawn.
You sure?
Not really.
Me either.
So what does the U.S. Army Field Manual say about nighttime perimeter security?
Reacher smiled.
It says you put a shitload of claymores about 100 yards out. If you hear one go off, you know you just killed an intruder.
Ah? What if you don't have any claymores?
Then you hide. That's the SAS way. But we can't hide the house.
We could take Kate and Jade someplace else.
Taylor shook his head. Better if they stay. I don't want my focus split.
How do they feel about that?
Ask them.
So Reacher did. He took a shortcut through the house and went out to the Mini, told Kate to take a break for dinner. Then he offered to drive her and Jade any place she wanted to go. A hotel, a resort, a spa, Norwich, Birmingham, London, anywhere. She refused. She said as long as Lane was alive, she wanted Taylor close by with a gun. She said a farmhouse with stone walls 3 feet thick was the best place she could think of to be. Reacher didn't argue with her. Privately, he agreed with Taylor. Split focus was a bad thing. And it was possible that Lane's guys already had covert surveillance going. Maybe even likely. If so, they would have the roads covered. They would be watching cars pass by, looking for Taylor primarily. But if they were given the chance to see that what was supposed to be Susan and Melody Jackson was actually Kate and Jade Lane, then the whole game would change. Dinner was a random mixture of canned stuff that Pauling had found in cupboards. She wasn't much of a cook. She was too accustomed to dialing her Barrow Street telephone and calling out for whatever she wanted. But nobody seemed to mind. Nobody was in the mood for a gourmet menu. They planned as they ate. Agreed to set up 2 two-person watches, sequential, 5 hours each. That would take them through until dawn. One person would patrol the blind gable wall to the south, and one would do the same thing to the north. Each would be armed with a loaded G-36. The first watch would be Taylor and Jackson, and at 1:30 in the morning, Reacher and Pauling would take over. Kate Lane would sit it out. The possibility that a hostile nighttime reconnaissance probe might identify her was too much of a risk. Reacher cleared the table and washed the dishes, and Taylor and Jackson went outside with their G-36s cocked and locked. Kate went upstairs to put Jade to bed. Pauling put logs on the fire, watched Reacher at the sink.
"You okay?"
she asked him. "I've done KP before."
"I didn't mean that."
"We've got an SAS guy on one end of the house and a parachute regiment guy on the other. They both got automatic weapons, and they're both personally motivated. They won't fall asleep."
"I didn't mean that either. I meant with the whole thing."
"I told you we wouldn't be putting anybody on trial."
Pauling nodded. "She's cute, isn't she?"
"Who?"
"Kate. She makes me feel ancient."
"Older women. Good for something."
"Thanks."
"I mean it. Give me a choice, I'd go home with you, not her."
"Why?"
"Because I'm weird like that."
"I'm supposed to put people on trial."
"So was I, once. But I'm not going to this time. And I'm okay with that."
"Me too. That's what's bothering me."
"You'll get over it. The backhoe and a plane ticket will help."
"Distance? 6 feet of Earth and 3,000 air miles?"
"Works every time."
"Does it? Really?"